Good morning. And we have a story about White House stenographers. First time this whole cycle. The White House stenographers come with the House. They are not political. Some of them have been there since Trump and will be there after Biden. And they are now as mad as you will ever hear a stenographer on the record that White House officials working for President Biden tried to change the meaning of their transcript. So it sounded like the president on that Zoom with Voto Latino was just criticizing a comedian instead of all Trump supporters. So now we've got a supervisor from the stenographer's office who is saying, our stenography office transcript released to our distro, which includes the national.
So what does a mad stenographer look like? Because, I mean, if you hear, you know, you hear the word stenographer, it almost sounds like a dinosaur. I'm just like wondering what a mad stenographer looks like. What is that like? I mean, what is, and how do you, I mean, there's like the most innocuous people in the world to make angry, but that's where we're now, where we're making stenographers mad. That's we're at that level of this election. And that has to do, if you remember, just to recap, the remarks that Biden gave, literally while Kamala Harris is on stage, I can't get over that. The remarks that Biden gave when Harris was on stage at her rally, and he went off and had said that it was Trump supporters that were garbage and they were trying to rewrite it. And as we've talked about ad nauseum on the show, it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense because it, I mean, you're talking about one reporter and, or one supporter, and it was like a possessive. And I didn't quite understand that. And we talked about that and it just didn't make any sense. And because, you know why it didn't make any sense? Because he was talking about all the supporters. And so the White House, in a really rare thing, they edited the transcript. They edited the transcript to make it seem like, oh, no, no, everything that we were saying, this is what he said the whole time. And they, when they edited the transcript, this is why the stenographers are mad, because everybody knows it's the White House stenographers that did it. And, you know, these people take their jobs very seriously because they're recording history. And you are, I mean, what they did in effect is they, well, not in effect, I mean, what really what they did is they completely compromised the integrity of those stenographers by claiming that, oh, no, it's, yeah, it's, we just, this is really what he said. He didn't really say the other stuff. And that's really bad. And it completely compromise their all of their integrity. And that's why they're so upset, because they've had these jobs. Some of them have been there longer than Trump, honestly. I think there was one that had been there since like the W era, I believe. So they take their job seriously, and they've been through a lot of presidents. And so it completely compromises their integrity by doing this. And that's why they released, I've never seen White House stenographers release a statement before. Have you, Kane?
Nope.
I don't think I have either. So dang, welcome to the program. That's how we're starting Friday. Ugh, I mean, does it get any better for Biden Harris? I don't think so. Welcome to the program. It's the top of this first hour. It's Friday, and we've got a lot of stuff to get. We're going to touch on a lot of things to get ready for next week, the election. And let me tell you, I'm going to walk you through everything as we get closer and closer. And the one place where you can get non-hysterical coverage, where I'm not going to go with anything unvetted, and I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke up your backside like some of the influencers out there who have to quietly revise what they say because they're chasing clicks. One of the reasons that we've been around as long as we have been is because we don't do that. We're consistent, and our audience can trust that. And there's no reason to change that now. So again, welcome. Dana Loesch here with you. You can listen, obviously, across the country, and you can check out channel 347 as well, DirecTV. We're getting some stuff planned so that every aspect is covered. And whether you are, maybe you're at a friend's house and you're watching election night coverage, or you're at home, we're going to have a way for you to be able to get results and completely unspun results and know what's what as it happens. So that's one of the things that we're in the planning stages of doing. So this is how we're starting everything today. The the stenographers are upset. But you know what? It serves the Biden administration right. It's insane that this even had to happen. It's crazy that they even had to, you know, I mean, it's crazy that they even had to release a statement. I literally have never seen ever, like I said, them do this. And so this, the White House stenographers, and this is one of the top things that we had today, the White House stenographers, they have this and the jobs numbers. So they said it was a breach of protocol, a major breach of protocol, and that this is something that it's never been done before. They were very mad. It was a very terse statement. So this is one of the top stories. Here's the other top story here. The jobs that were created, guys. Do you know that they were saying that they were expecting 112,000? And do you know how much there were created? 12,000. Kane, correct me if I'm wrong on this. They're going to revise that down, right? So it's not even really 12. Yeah. It's going to be a lot less than that, right?
Historically, that's all we've seen is the numbers revised downward.
Wow.
Because we all know how it works. The lie gets traveled around the world a couple times before the truth actually puts its shoes on. And everyone thinks that the original lie number is where we are economically. And we are not.
So check this out. Only 12,000. Now, again, that's going to be revised down. Only 12,000 created, number one. The number of private sector jobs, down by over 27,000. Manufacturing, this would have been, I think, a lot lower had you not seen NGOs, like healthcare NGOs, like the non-government officials, like these third parties that technically they're kind of governmental. They get government money and they kind of operate similarly to that of government. It would have been worse, but apparently manufacturing, because they count these NGOs in, that was down 46,000. Now, they had revised August down by over 80,000, and September was revised down by 31. The labor force shrank by 220,000. This is a disaster. This close to the election. I mean, it's a disaster anyway, but this close to the election, you can't fake this with people. This is really wild. And the revisions, good heavens. We're going to be at a negative with the revisions in. We're going to be at a negative. So again, manufacturing took a hit and it would have been even lower. And that's the one thing that I want to make sure that you understand. It would have been lower and it wasn't because there's any kind of silver lining there. I'm trying not to be like totally a bummer, but it's not because there's any big silver lining there. It's because it's the NGOs and government expansion. That's really what it was. It was government and third party NGOs. That's the only reason. And even then they had a loss. That's the only reason it was down. And then it was only 46,000. So that's, you got to keep that in mind as well. This is so bad. It's really bad. And we've only added this many. I mean, this being so close, like I said, to the election, these numbers, there's no way you can dance these numbers up, dress these numbers up. There's no way you can dance around it. It's bad. So the unemployment has held pretty steady at over 4% now. And all of this is coming from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And it was the lowest additions in 4 years, 5 years, since Trump left office. It's the lowest since Trump left office. Total non-farm payroll was unchanged and the unemployment rate unchanged. So, and again, the healthcare and government. And again, that healthcare sector, NGOs. I'm going to say that every single time, because, and the reason why is I already see a lot of people on the left, a lot of Harris surrogates, they're trying to spin that and say, oh, look, well, that was the health care. This is a really good signal. It's not. It really isn't. And so this is the reality of the situation. It's bad. So, and it doesn't have to do with Boeing, and it doesn't have to do with the strikes on the ports either. That was another thing that the Biden-Harris administration, they're trying to blame it on the strikes. And it didn't really even take a hit from Boeing, by the way, or the ports. Even if the strike never happened, you would still have a fraction of the jobs required to maintain that same level in the United States. It would still be so below it. It's only a fraction of what it would require to maintain. It's still the lowest number in 4 years. So that people can do the math. They can see what that, I mean, it's just dumb. And by the way, when you go back, like I said, in September and in August, and you look at the previous revisions, there was a six-figure revision in each of those. For August, it was revised down, like I said, by 81,000 from 159,000 to plus 78. And the change in September was revised down from 31. That was from plus 254,000 to 223. So it was August and September was 112,000 lower than it was previously reported. The civilian labor force dropped by over 220,000. Again, all of this is coming from government, any gain, government, and then the NGOs with healthcare. That's crazy. And when they try to compare it, and I think Kane brings up a good point, and Slack, if you try to compare this with Trump, his administration, there was a pandemic and people were being forced to stay home. So, I mean, that was, you know, kind of one of the reasons why there's such a disparate comparison there. That's wild. So how does this affect Harris on Bidenomics? Notice she hasn't talked about Bidenomics anymore. She hasn't talked about it at all. That's why they've shifted so hard to identity politics, because how do you touch on any of this? You can't. That's the problem. You can't talk about any of this. I mean, there's more to it than this. We're also going to get into some of the voting and the electoral stuff, because in addition to, as we talked to Daniel Horowitz, the stagflation, now we're looking at voter integrity. And we're going to be looking. And then Harris released a sit down. It's an ad that they released in Pennsylvania. This is apparently their last ad buy. And she did this ad with the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, right? They're sitting down together and Walz isn't even in the picture. He was just erased. That's pretty wild. We got this and a whole bunch of stuff to dive into as we get you set up for this Friday. As we move our partners over at Tax Network USA, they want to help you with the Government Theft Agency, because the Government Theft Agency needs to send more money to Ukraine, and they can't do that unless you give them more of your income that you earned that they had nothing to do with. This is where Tax Network USA comes in. Look, they share your views, right? But they also want to make sure that you're not, that the IRS can't come at you. They got 88,000 new agents now. And Tax Network USA, they've gone toe-to-toe with the IRS and they've won. They've helped taxpayers save over $1 billion in tax debt. They filed over 10,000 tax returns. They specialize in helping people just like you. It doesn't matter if it's personal or business, if you owe $10,000 or $10 million. Regardless, they got the tools and experience to handle anything. And if you're able to pay or on a fixed income, doesn't matter. They provide tailored solutions to help you resolve your tax burdens effectively. So don't wait. Visit TNUSA.com/Dana or call 1-800-958-1000. Get a free consultation. Their experts are going to walk you through just a few simple questions to see how much you can save. But act now, because the IRS only gets more aggressive with time. That's TNUSA.com/Dana, 1-800-958-1000.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So you guys remember TGI Fridays, right? So they were made famous in Office Space, the movie, because, well, they were lampooned because their people wear flair, right? They wear the buttons on the uniforms and all of that. Well, apparently they are nearing bankruptcy filing. They've been dealing with slowing sales, and a deal to purchase the company fell through earlier this year. So they may be on the way out. I legit have not eaten at a TGI Fridays, Kane, since oh my gosh, it's been 15 years, maybe 18, maybe 20. The only one I know was in South County, the TGI Fridays there by the Ronnie's Theater. Remember that? It's legit the only one I know that existed. So that's kind of crazy. Let's see. People will feel sorry for robots that make pitiful noises, a researcher finds. Okay, this is not entirely... Look, all I know is that one of the saddest little stories I ever read was about that Mars rover that was like walking around and like taking pictures and it would sing happy birthday to itself. And the last thing before its battery ran out, it was bleeding out a little happy birthday song to itself. It was legit one of the saddest stories I've ever read. I didn't say that my eyes got misty or anything, but it was sad. So they said that participants, they did the survey on people and it said participants would rather do a boring task than to hurt a robot that makes sad sounds. So if a robot makes sad sounds, according to this researcher, people feel really bad about it. And they said they're hesitant to mistreat them if they think that they can feel pain or they make little sad, pathetic noises. They have no problem shaking a silent robot, they said, but as soon as the robot made a pitiful sound, they wanted to do something boring and not even bother with that at all. So they can pantomime human emotions to manipulate them. So that's going to happen. Our robot overlords are going to have like giant kewpie eyes and they're going to make little sad noises. That's what's going to happen while they're killing you. That's what's going to happen. They're going to totally play on your emotions. People, you know what? I don't think that works with people though, if people do that. We got a whole bunch of stuff coming up, including some polling and swing state stuff. Stay with us. Black Rifle Coffee has the absolute best beans, the best roasts, the best flavor profiles that's out there. And it's so good. And it's so affordable. You're getting really good, the world's best coffee. And you're getting it at an affordable price because they understand that. This is a veteran-owned, veteran-founded, veteran-run, and active duty. They got some active duty there too, company. And everything that they do is a tribute to those who fought for our nation. Now, right now at blackriflecoffee.com, they have their Freedom Roast, which is smooth, full of flavor. You can save 20% on the Freedom Roast with code Dana, only at Black Rifle Coffee. And when you subscribe to the coffee club, you get free shipping and automated orders. You pick the roast you want or roasts, how often you want it, and it ships free shipping right to your doorstep. So you are always enjoying the convenience of having your favorite coffee on hand without having to do a last minute run to the store to get coffee that morning. And again, they're dedicated to their mission of supporting veteran and first responder causes. This is premium coffee, whole bean, K-cup, ready to drink. And you can also get apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. So get your freedom on with the Freedom Roast from BlackRifleCoffee.com. And enjoy other top shelf roasts as well, like the Just Black, the Silencer Smooth. Whatever you decide, you're going to get 20% off using code Dana. Only at BlackRifleCoffee.com.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this hour. I got a few things. I'm pulling these up now because I've got just some of this swing state info to look at because some of the final polls, again, you're looking at an edge to Trump, but some of the swing states, though, it's so close. It is so close. And one of the interesting things is that women, not by a lot, but by enough to change potentially the outcome of an election, women are showing up more than men. So in all of these swing states, so far, men are behind women when it comes to early voting. Now, there could be a number of things that create that, but, however, it is very interesting. I don't think that Democrats trash-talking voters is necessarily going to help, but there are a number of things, I think, that go into this. But women have always, like, historically broke for the left, which is kind of sad, but, you know, the truth of it. But some of this, looking at the there's some of the toss-up states, there's some states that are leaning Dem that are being, well, not by everyone universally. That's why I haven't really gone out with it, but they're being reclassified as potentially being toss-ups. So far, the national average literally has them tied, the RCP, 48.4, 48.1, definitely within the margin of error, putting Trump up by 0.3. Now, in the Senate and the House, this is also incredibly important. Battle for the Senate, the Republicans, as everything lays now, are projected to take the Senate. And they may keep the House. It's super close. Only a 0.9 lead nationally in the House, compiling all of this together. Very, very, very close. I am very worried about the House. The Senate, less so. But we're looking at, you know, maybe projected to take the Senate, maintaining the House. And the presidential race, super close. I don't want people to think that. That's another reason I want to caution everybody about believing these polls. Because again, and I'll say it, and I'll say it until election's over. Republicans have a habit, and this is proven by a hard data, hard numbers from different Secretary of State's offices from around the country. You can literally look at the moment and kind of see, and this is one of the things I noted back in 2016 as well. You can kind of see when the messaging comes out that Republicans are doing well. Look, we're ahead. We're doing good. You can you can exhale. You can take a breath, and then you can see the moment where it's like, oh, the kind of early voting drops off, and then some of these other areas that people thought, because of the polling was so strong, that you were going to get a greater turnout in these areas, Republican dominated typically. You projected a greater turnout than what you ended up getting on election day, or what you ended up getting total throughout the election. Republicans are like, oh, you got it. Well, stay home. Don't do that. You need to view it like, I mean, you need to view this as maybe your vote's the literal one that will decide everything, and get out and vote. There should be no excuse. We already went out and voted. You voted too, Kane, didn't you? Did you wear the trash bag or no?
No.
I can remember what you said.
I thought about it.
You thought about wearing the trash
bag. Moving into a new place. So one of the last things you have are the trash bags, right? Mm-hmm. Before you head to the other place. So I was thinking about it, but I ultimately did not.
I had a thought about this because I actually had a friend that asked me. Today's the last day of early voting in Texas. And I had a friend that actually asked me, if I wear a trash bag to vote, is that going to be considered electioneering? Because you can't wear your MAGA hat. You can't, and it's not just that. You can't wear any pro-Biden stuff either. You couldn't wear a hat that had a Biden slogan on it.
MAGA is just Make America Great Again. It's not saying anybody's name.
I can't wear gun stuff. And I've been there when I've seen someone who was told to cover up.
Like
they had a pro 2A thing.
Mean, like just a picture of a gun on a hat?
Like, no, it was like, I think it was like, I think it actually said Make 2A Great Again. But so I think that said vote something on it.
So a garbage bag doesn't have any words.
I mean, I don't think it would, but it actually is interesting though. Consider, because it's, I mean, think about it. You show up in a garbage bag. Is that considered? And I told my friend, I said, no, but just like be ready to have a shirt on underneath just in case, because don't do anything. Don't give anybody any. They live in a really strong Republican area, so I seriously doubt there would be. And do you think that people would know immediately? Because honestly, some of today's fashion legit looks like garbage. So I'm just saying. So the. Looking at some of this, Minnesota and New Hampshire. New Hampshire was the one yesterday that RCP labeled as maybe becoming a toss-up. Minnesota and New Hampshire are toss-ups. I just want to point out the incredible coincidence of this. Because Minnesota is what? Tim Walz's state. New Hampshire is what? Joe Biden's state. Are you literally telling me that Democrats can't carry the state of the vice president and the current president? Because OMG, for real? I'm going to be watching those two states just for the schadenfreude of it. I'm trying not to like get over my skis, but I do think it would be hysterical to have that talking point and just beat them over the head with it for the next 4 years. I look at petty stuff like that. How funny would that be? So not funny if we lose though. So I'm just saying, can we talk about this thing where Liz Cheney's trying to make herself a victim? So he came out and he said something about Liz Cheney and the way she votes. And she's like War Inc., which she is. And he had said that, we'll go play his remark. I think we have his remark that we can play. And I don't need to tell you what he said. You can listen to what he said. This was him last night at his event. He's been everywhere. I don't even know what state he's in. So this is what audio soundbite 18. Listen.
But his daughter is a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with nine barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face. You know, they're all war hawks when they're sitting in Washington in a nice building saying, oh, gee, Will, let's send 10,000 troops right into the mouth of the enemy.
So everyone is acting like it was a threat against Liz Cheney, which is one of the most victim-seeking things I've ever... I can't stand it when women do this. When women are like, oh, he didn't say actually something about me, but I have no other way to refute it, so I'm just going to say it's a threat. So he was talking about her vote, and she is. I mean, she's very interventionist. That was considered one of the tenets of the compassionate conservatism, which is a phrase. I have a huge thing I've been working on for quite some time about this. Compassionate conservatism is a phrase that describes Bush light or Republican light, right? It's like a W. Bush thing. And this is also where I will say some of the newer Republicans are very Bushy, because they want government intervention and they want child tax credits and they want welfare and all this stuff, like paying people to have kids is literally called welfare. And they try to model some of what they want after Viktor Orban in Hungary. That's like a literally like that's welfare. It's a lot of George W. Bush compassionate conservatism. This is the only thing where they do differ from that big government Republicanism on is interventionism. And that's what he's talking about here. He's saying that, you know, if it were up to her, we would be involved in all these conflicts. And quite frankly, if you've ever listened to her speak about certain things, he's not incorrect. I mean, maybe people don't like the way that he said it. Honestly, I got to tell you, I really don't think that anybody else has any place to criticize the rhetoric he uses after everybody has spent, all these people have spent 8 years calling him a Nazi and calling him a fascist and a bigot and a sexist and a racist and leading to two assassination attempts, and then even joking about the assassination attempts and saying that the people didn't try hard enough. I mean, these were actual Democrats that were saying this. So I really don't think that these people have any place to criticize his rhetoric, particularly when he, whether they like it or not, was careful actually in what he said. You just heard what he said. This is the very fine people on both sides. They're trying to do this again. They're trying to redo it. And I particularly do not want to hear any bitching about nuance or rhetoric from people who have literally spent the past 48 hours trying to argue with all of us about apostrophes. They're saying that there was an unspoken apostrophe that we're too stupid to hear, but that he, but don't, can't believe what you believe us on what wasn't said, but also believe us on what was said. Like that he didn't say that here. So she apparently responded with this news. I was reading this Newsweek piece. She apparently had responded to this, and she was asked. And of course, you know, it's kind of more, I hate, by the way, I am so aggravated at, I'm trying to get this piece up. What was her remark? Because I had it here and now everything froze. She responded to him. And of course, it's, let me pull this up. I apologize, but I'm about to shoot my computer. And it's true. I'm so done with this stupid thing. She was saying that she was responding to it and saying that it was basically more of the same from Trump, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'll pull it up at some point. Unless we, I don't think there's audio of it. No. She didn't say it with audio. So the, it is, they're trying to make something up out of nothing, essentially is what it is. They're trying to make something out of nothing. And it really is nothing. He didn't say this. This was not anything said. She goes, this is how dictators destroy free nations, was her response. They threaten those who speak against them with death. That's not what he did. That's not what he did. She said, we cannot entrust our country and our freedom to a petty, vindictive, cruel, unstable man who wants to be a tyrant. You know, I can only speak from personal experience on things. And I know other people have gone through, you know, other kind of stuff, especially if you're in the media, other conservatives have gone through things. But I remember being called a domestic terrorist by a sitting member of Congress, a Democrat. They said those words, Dana Loesch is a domestic terrorist, because of my support for the Second Amendment. And this wasn't long after Parkland, when I already had people who were trying to break into my house to kill me. And then you have a sitting elected official who says something like this. Liz Cheney never spoke out against that. a lot of these very critical Republicans were very silent. And it wasn't just me when they would bring up and then they would universally smear all gun owners as potential terrorists or potential problems or potential, you know, domestic agitators. They were trying to, they were really careful with their phrasing after that. I noticed a lot of these very critical Republicans never spoke up for those people. Never spoke. I never heard her say anything. I was kind of left to be out there on my own. And a lot of you were also. She never spoke up with that. And that was like an actual, there's no mincing of those words. There's no explanation that is needed. But with this, she's really quick to speak up and mischaracterize it as a threat. Being criticized is not an attack upon you. Being criticized for your interventionist policies and saying, how would you like it, is not a threat. It is a criticism. To characterize it as a threat betrays your stated strength of an empowered woman. And this idea that, oh, he's petty and he's threatening people who speak against him with death, that's actually not what he did. And it diminishes the real threats from very real tyrants who do exist in this world. Like the ones that they just seemingly can't find any strength to speak out against when it does happen then, with the example that I just gave you personally. So the problem is that what he said was accurate and it stung. And she has no way to counter it except to try to invert it and make herself the victim. It's a rhetorical trick that's a beginner one. You can easily see through it. And it's incredibly lame. And I just expected, I guess, a little better of someone who's been in politics that long, whose family has been in politics that long, and who has the last name that she has. Either refute it properly or just be silent. Because this does you no favors. If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours or only have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is that Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. It's a unique formula of ingredients that helps support your body's response to inflammation. And Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free, and for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. Chris, my husband, raves about Relief Factor. So whether you're a cyclist, a hiker, you know, an athlete from your college days or high school, maybe you're just active now, Relief Factor supports inflammation reduction and joint health. Try it today. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See in how just a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. And then you feel better, and then life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Hi, you guys. Hi, Avengers.
Hi. Hey, Scarlett.
Jumping on the call.
Whoa. I think you mean assembling. Wow. Don, that's pretty good.
No, they thought it was funny.
Scarlett, it is our pleasure to come together and to get the vote out this election. Come on.
Yeah, how can we be of service?
Well, how about we start with what our voting plans are going to be, who we're going to bring to the polls with us, that sort of thing.
I think Kamala Harris needs a catchphrase.
Ooh, yes, definitely a catchphrase.
How about this? I'm just off the top of my head. I can do this all day. Shut up.
I hate it.
Okay.
I mean, it's original, but...
What about something punchier like,
ooh, boom, you looking for this?
Iron Man 2, everybody loved it.
Okay, again, I think we're just trying to get out the vote.
Kamala forever.
That's better.
Okay, how about I'm down with democracy? It's just clean, it's simple.
Okay, I like that.
It's hard to argue with that.
Kamala Harris, down with democracy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I say... down with democracy.
That's exactly
I don't know if that sounds the way
that.
We want it to sound, though.
I think we just need, can we get some production, though?
Jarvis?
My name's not Jarvis, but whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Down with democracy. Down with democracy.
Is that what we mean, though?
Yeah, together we're going to tear down democracy.
Will you stop? This is so perfect.
Actually, I know they meant for this to be funny, but this literally is exactly... That was a major backfire, I think, for them. Oh, my gosh. Seriously? Down with democracy. Like, tear it down. They didn't... That was the full ad. Yeah, they didn't alter that.
That was it.
Oh, my gosh. I know what they were trying to do, but they missed a step.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah. That was so bad. Yeah, that's... I'm okay with them doing that. Yeah, down with democracy. Down with it. Down with the republic. I mean, that's, you know, really, that was honest. Stick with us. Second hour on the way. Our partners, the folks over at ReadyWise. They're always ready, even if you're not. That's what I like about ReadyWise. Like, ReadyWise is just waiting there, waiting up in your pantry, waiting up in your cabinets, you know, just waiting to get going. And if you need it, it's ready because it has a 25-year shelf life. Think about, like, the weather. Think about some of this other stuff that's been happening lately. Yeah, you always want to make sure that you are prepared to feed yourself and your family, because in times of crisis, you never want to have to worry about where your meals are coming from. So two things for you. They have the 20% off when you use Dana20 at checkout. Then they also have the 72-hour food kit, buy one, get one. So it's $100 in value, but you're getting it for $50. And that includes two boxes. They have 12 pouches of premium survival food. You have the drinks, the breakfast, everything. You're getting everything you need for your daily needs, your calories, all your caloric intake, your protein, your carbs. It's like 20% of your daily carbs as well. So not only is it going to power you to get through whatever you need to get through, but you got comfort in a crisis and beyond. And it's a smart choice because this is all made, all sourced in the U.S., packed in the U.S. You know the chain of command for your U.S. food, and you're supporting U.S. agriculture and jobs. 25-year shelf life, as I said. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout. 20% off your entire purchase. That's what it gets you. ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
Day one, what's your first executive action?
Well, my first priority, which will be probably the package of bills, is about bringing down the cost of living. So it's about housing. It's about childcare. It's about what we need to do to deal with grocery prices. So it's not one, but it's a package that is with one singular purpose, bringing down the cost of living.
We have to go.
How is she going to, first off, she's there now. So... what's stopping her? I mean, it's not even day one if she were to win. It's not even day one. She's already there. So,
only takes one day.
Yeah. Like, why hasn't she started now? Welcome back to the program. Inquiring minds want to know. Dana Loesch with you, top of this second hour. And why hasn't she begun it now? I'm really curious about that because she's there, Kane. In the White House. She's the vice president. Mm-hmm. She could do some things.
Yeah.
Is she withholding this magic policy solution and holding it over voters' heads? Because that's pretty lame. It's like, I have the cure to all diseases here. Can't wait to use it after you vote for me. You know what I mean? It's like, that's pretty lame. I have no other way to interpret that, but she's there now. Secondly, how are you going to bring about the cost of living when everything that you want to do, and by you, I mean Biden, but you've appropriated it, is designed to literally increase the cost of living? So that also doesn't make any sense to me. All of these individuals talk like they've never had to take an econ class. They've never had any real world experience. They just, it's like toddlers. They just say whatever. I want to grow up and be a rainbow. Okay. I want to grow up and everybody's going to be happy and have free money and live in mansions. That's what's going to, yay. And everyone's going to have ponies. That's what she's doing. She's that. It's toddler 2024. It's exactly what it is. Apparently, so Kane, what were you telling me on break? Did she tell Mark Cuban to shut up?
Yeah, I
saw that there was a breaking report. Now, there was no link or no story tied to it, but that apparently Kamala Harris campaign told Mark Cuban to stop speaking on behalf of the Kamala Harris campaign.
Oh, you know, because Mark Cuban was saying that there's no strong women around Trump and that women are stupid if they support him.
Yep.
Harris Faulkner asked him, audio somebody 11, she took a shiv to him. Listen to this.
Look, I don't know where Mark Cuban is today, but as a woman, I have questions. I want to know, are you big enough? Are you man enough to apologize and take responsibility for what you said?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of people have asked that. So it's, you know, no, he's not going to, because he doesn't think he's done anything wrong. But if the Harris campaign asked him to stop speak, it hurt, definitely hurt. That's the whole point. That's what this campaign is doing. And I have a piece that I'm working on about this. I was going to come out with it last night, but it'll be out later today. It's a piece that I'm working on about this, which gets into there. They got mad at my friend Jesse Waters because Jesse Waters was joking about how his wife better not vote for Harris. That would be a betrayal. Jesse has a persona. He's got a Rat Pack persona. That's the persona that he has on Fox. He plays his role. You know how like with WWE, you got some dudes that are the baddies that go out there. Jesse has this persona. I've known Jesse for years and he's a super nice dude. He's joking and people are like, nope, the left is situationally doesn't want to have humor. Like they'll hold up a severed Trump head. Who's that female Carrot Top? Maybe it's Carrot Top, trans Carrot Top. Who's the trans Carrot Top lady? And she held up the severed head. I know her name, but I'm pretending not to.
Okay then.
Yeah. They were like, no, it's a joke. You guys are so sensitive. Oh my gosh. It's just a joke. Why are you guys so ignorant? If not, you're so not funny. But then he makes a joke about this and everyone's like, all the MAGA men are going crazy. And then they use his joke. And he was just being facetious. They use that as a way to castigate all the dudes and say, oh my gosh, all the MAGA, there was the headline. That was literally the headlines, numerous ones that were trending. MAGA men are freaking out. Well, I don't know anyone who slaps their wife or slaps their girlfriend in the line at a valet except for Democrats. So this doesn't track. Sorry. This doesn't really track for me. And it also presupposes the worst about the women that you're trying to get to vote for you. Isn't that just like the left? Well, the reason women, any woman, if there's a woman that's not voting for me, it's because she's a beaten dog is why. She's an unempowered, sad, pathetic, beaten dog. That's exactly what she is. And ladies, you know, if you're beaten dogs out there, you don't have to tell your husbands who you voted for. We played that ad yesterday. Because they can't reconcile themselves to the truth that these chicks don't want her. There are some chicks out there like me that just don't want her. I don't think she's accomplished. I think she's a social climber, a ladder climber. Everything that she has ever gotten, she's been appointed to. She's not legit entered a field outright. Everything from the beginning of her career to where she is now, she was appointed there. She didn't earn it outright. She doesn't come off as strong. She doesn't come off as being confident. And she sounds kooky. She takes and makes the worst decisions because she's a horrific strategist. Case in point, this ad that she did, I wanted to play this. So this is Audio Soundbite 27. This is her final ad that is airing in Pennsylvania. And she did it with the Pennsylvania governor and the guy who was shortlisted to be her VP pick, Josh Shapiro. Now, my theory is that there are two reasons why they didn't pick Josh Shapiro over Tim Walz. They didn't pick Shapiro because A, he's Jewish, and they don't want to get into an issue with Israel and Hamas and Dearbornistan. And then the second thing is that he makes her look like a Muppet. Watch this and tell me that you disagree. This is Audio Soundbite 27.
Election, it's bigger than us. It's about the future. Do you want more chaos? Or like me, are you ready for some common sense? That's why I'm with Kamala. I've known her for 2 decades. She's practical, and she gets stuff done.
As president, I will chart a new way forward and find solutions to create jobs and bring down costs. I will fight for you and your family every day.
Pennsylvania, let's not go back.
This is one of the dumbest moves I've ever seen. I'm glad they made it. Like, don't get me wrong, but it's one of the dumbest moves I've ever seen Democrats do. They picked the FUD, the goofy goober that's out of Minnesota, and they didn't pick Josh Shapiro. Because look how much he had much more energy and charisma than she did, didn't he? I mean, you got that immediately in that ad, and that ad's 30 seconds. Well, where was Tim Walz? Isn't it weird that he wasn't there? Don't you think it was weird? Do you think that they were trying to suggest to Pennsylvania voters that, oh no, here's my guy? I mean, it's weird that Walz wasn't in it, right? Everybody knew that Shapiro, everybody thought actually he was going to be the VP. It was, there were tons of Democrats, insiders that thought it was a done deal. Where was Walz at? That's kind of weird. But do you see now why she can't have anybody that makes her look better? It enhances her ineptacy, her incompetence. So to have a goofy goober like Walz on the ticket, actually, they think that it makes her look better. What she could have done is she could have had Shapiro on the ticket with her. And then she could have defaulted to a more Eastwoodian, strong, silent type and played a role, right? And had him go out there. And then she could come out with some very, you know, with some stagecraft to look really well put together and really strong and really prepared. And she could have limited that and sent Shapiro out there to do a lot of the retail stuff. If they were smart, but they're not because they're horrible strategists. They have no idea how to do any of this. But it looked weird that they were sitting there together and she just like kicked Walz to the side. I thought that was fascinating. I mean, they're just not even trying to hide it anymore. They just erased him entirely. But they're sitting there. They're just sitting there and they were, you know, they were talking and that's just fascinating. So I don't know. They really need Pennsylvania. And that was the other dumb thing. He's Pennsylvanian. They need Pennsylvania. They have to have Pennsylvania. They really messed up. I think if she ends up losing, that's going to be a huge part of it. It really will be a huge part of it. Women are dominating in a lot of these early swing states, one of the things that we told you. And we got the new job numbers in. We talked about that last hour. They're all election shenanigans have already started. Lorraine has a great piece up at Substack right now that gets into the ballot box bombs and the court cases and the fraudulent donations and all the fake, you know, registrations and all of that. The ballot box bombs specifically, they were designed to burn the ballots and not explode the boxes. And then they found a note in one of the boxes saying that the boxes are going to continue to burn until Gaza was freed. I'd bomb it again just out of spite. So they think it's a white dude between ages 30 and 40 years old, short hair or balding, thin to medium build, thin face, and a background in metalworking and welding. I guess what, because you have to put it back together? I don't understand why. Okay. So I'm sure that they're going to find those real quick. That's interesting, though, because it could hurt Democrats and Republicans at the same time, right? Because they're the Gazan people, the people who are pro-Hamas are very upset at Democrats because Democrats are too terrified to publicly state that they are as hardcore pro-Hamas as they say privately they are. So it's a little interesting. But it was in Vancouver, Washington, Portland, Oregon. So yeah, these are leftists that are doing this completely. But they're anti-Israel protesters. And they said all drop boxes will burn, free Gaza. Well, maybe you shouldn't have a drop box for your stupid ballots. How dumb is that? Right? Again, getting into the whole, like, oh, I'm just going to put my vote in this easy to mess with Dropbox here. We're going to do the honor. I mean, can you imagine? I was looking at some of the pictures. It says official ballot Dropbox. Just on a street corner. There's like a little camera in the corner, but they're still looking for the guy. So how much does that camera's helped? You know, there you go. Just wild. Then they had so this is what was going on in Bucks County, where they had this fight over the ballots and all of that in Bucks County. And then you had the RNC, which they sued and they rightfully, or it got reversed by the court. And then they, because you had people in Bucks County that were in line and they were being incorrectly told to go home, and the RNC intervened. And the RNC was right to have intervened, and I'm glad that they did. And you had these paid canvassers, York County was looking into an abundance of these like paid canvassers and people spreading, you know, all this trying to manipulate people standing in line, which to me, that's electioneering. That should be a felony offense for these people. And then you had the Virginia case too, where they were trying to clean up their voter rolls and they ended up winning on that. So there's some shenanigans happening. That's why turnout is so critical, because not only do you have to get over the margin of error, you got to get over the margin of theft. But is the theft limited to just election day and the election period? One of the things we're going to be talking about on this program coming up is this major problem, and I've brought this up before, this huge problem with the census. And I retweeted my friend Daniel Horowitz. He and I actually, we were at an event recently together, and we were talking about this in person. And you kind of have to wonder, we're not saying that this is going to happen, but what if the census errors or gerrymandering and all of this, what if that's the fix? What if, I'm just saying, like for instance, Texas should have a couple more seats, Florida should have one. He noted Minnesota and Rhode Island each retained a seat that they should have lost, and Colorado got an extra seat that they should not have gotten. So what if that's the fix? And it's been years in the making. No one's talking about that, but we will. We got a lot to hit. I always carry. I'm never going to tell somebody to not carry. I have no problem using lethal force in protection of myself or somebody else. There are instances where you're barred from carrying. And I've given you, these aren't like anecdotal, you know, things. These are, I have friends who live in D.C. and New York. And my friend who lives in D.C., she's a female. She lives and works in D.C., has to per her job. And she, even though she's got one of the very difficult to get licensed to carry in D.C., she can't carry everywhere. And, you know, sometimes she's leaving at work at 11 o'clock at night and she doesn't want to be a statistic. So she went out and got the Byrna SD, which is their best selling model, the most popular one that they have. And the Byrna gun, it deters and stops threats from like, what, 50 feet away, because it shoots these chemical irritant projectiles. And when you compare it to like a stun gun, you got what, maybe one or two shots? With a stun gun, you got 5 rounds with the Byrna SD. So it shoots these chemical irritant projectiles that can disable these threats. And you have an additional option for self-defense. Now, at the website, they have different models. They have different projectiles, accessories. And you can get 10% off when you go through Byrna.com/Dana. And they don't care about gun-free zone signs, the Byrna sign. You can get it shipped right to your door. There's no waiting period. There's no background check. It's legal in all 50 states. And this is great for when your options are limited and not by your choice. Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Liberty University is being sued by a former IT staffer because he's a dude who's pretending to be a woman. It's Liberty University. It's a Christian university. It's a private business. They can do what they want, and no amount of harassment by Lawfare is going to make them do otherwise. So this dude who wants to be a chick is mad because he got fired by the Evangelical Christian School, a private business, and they... I mean, obviously, I would imagine that when you agree to work there, you know, usually you sign contracts and things like that. They have an expectation of behavior and, you know, things like that. And so the dude who's named Eleanor Zinsky, he's working with the ACLU, and he's saying that it's discriminatory of him, of them, to fire him. And he was only there. He applied for the IT job and then 4 months after started transitioning. And he apparently, he did notify them of it and then requested that the school like depart from its doctrine and mission. That's what Liberty said, which I agree with. And so now they're like, oh, he's, you know, they fired the dude. And now the dude's like, oh, it's discriminatory. They can do what they want. It's a private business. You cannot force people to associate against their will. We have freedom of association. And sorry, but you knew this going into it. I think he purposefully did this. Really did. A car crashed into Billy Corgan's tea store, Madame Zuzu's. This was in Chicago. His son and his mother-in-law were in there at the time that it happened. I write about this over the weekend. It happened at like 12 p.m. and it was in Highland Park, Illinois, and a car legit crashed right in there. His son was okay. I think his mother-in-law had some injuries, and they showed the vehicle half inside and half outside of the store, and they said they're still investigating it. But they drove around the curb and right up into the store. So thankfully, his son was not injured and was out of the way. Thankfully, good heavens. We have more on the way, including interesting. This is interesting. Some Democrats are starting to disassociate from Harris and try to play up some Trump connections. Not kidding you. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Lillian, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
America's founders believed in a separation of church and state, in that the country was not to have an official religion or an official sect. But that did not mean that government was to be hostile to religion, or even indifferent to religion, as many today argue. In fact, America's founding document, the Declaration of Independence, includes both a reference to God as the author of the laws of nature and a confident assertion that human beings are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Far from being hostile or indifferent to religion, America's founders understood the theology of the Declaration to be an essential part of the education of citizens.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was reading this story, and welcome back to the program, Dana Lash with you. We have the chat at Rumble, 347 DirecTV, if you're listening terrestrially also, everywhere around the country. I was reading this story about this dude who survived for 10 days lost in the California mountains. And I really don't think that he got lost. Not all who wander are lost. Some just want to get the hell away from you people. You know, if I wanted to add, not you people, the drive-bys. If I wanted to add on to Tolkien's quote from Lord of the Rings, Riddle of Strider. I was like, is that really, maybe he was just like, I'm done. And then just walked into the woods. We're almost there collectively as a nation, I think. We're right there. We're really close. So we've been talking about some of the election shenanigans. I wanted to share this story with you, too. This is very interesting. So Bob Casey, who's a Democrat, and he's in Pennsylvania. You have Josh Shapiro, who did this final ad, and we played that for you with Kamala Harris. But the headline here from the Wall Street Journal, Bob Casey plays the Trump card. The Democrat from Pennsylvania finds himself in the fight of his political life. And they said that because he's going up against Dave McCormick. So, you know, McCormick, obviously working with Trump, is a Republican. So, you know, there's some crossover. But Bob Casey is also trying to jump on the coattails for Trump. Even as Kamala Harris is doing these ads with Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania, I think this is incredibly telling that they're doing this, because this is not the only Democrat that is doing this. This is what I tell you when I say you can't just look at these national polls, okay? And some of the state polls, I think, don't tell the true story. Stuff like this tells you the true story. So Bob Casey is a Democrat running for Senate, and he thinks that distancing himself from Kamala Harris and trying to cozy up to Trump is the way that he's going to stay alive. They're trying to do the Joe Manchin thing. Joe Manchin had to do that, though, because he's West Virginia. He had to do it. So you have four Democrat senators in four different states that have been actually citing Trump in their ads and trying to get close to them. That includes Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin, Alyssa Slotkin in Michigan. Ah, wait, Dana, do you mean those states where Democrats are having some trouble, these blue wall battleground states? Why, yes, Dana, that's exactly what I'm saying. I find that fascinating. So he's trying to make this move and kind of get close to Trump like this. And a lot of down ballot Democrats in these tight races are doing the same thing. This is similar to what happened with Barack Obama in 2012. This is midterm election under Barack Obama. Or no, this is the general election, Barack Obama. Midterm election is when it started. So like in 2010, that's when that's when they had the great shellacking, and that was part of the Tea Party. The Tea Party made that happen. The Tea Party took back the House during that time. But in 2012, there were people, and these were actual stories. And it was funny because leftist entities like Daily Coast and all that were trying to hammer these Democrats from disassociating themselves with Obama. It's not that they went and they were trying to get like Romney or McCain or anything like that. They just didn't want to do any events with Barack Obama. Claire McCaskill was one of them. Because he was a drag on down ballot races. He did not have coattails his entirety of his two terms. He did not have any kind of pull until after he left the White House. And even then, it's arguable in how much pull he had. Bill Clinton had like double his pull. So I'm looking at that effect. She's so toxic that these down ballot Democrats in these very tight races don't want anything to do with her. So you have Casey. Casey's been there for three terms. He's an incumbent. So he runs an ad. He tries to say, yes, I agree with Trump on this. And, you know, on some of these policies that are maybe a little bit more practical and common sense. But then literally he will echo what the party bosses say and say that he's a threat to democracy. It's like he has different ads running on the airwaves right now that say completely contradictory things. And again, he's not the only one doing this. Now, if Harris takes Pennsylvania, this is the race to watch. You need to watch Bob Casey's race in Pennsylvania. Actually, let's pull it up right now. You really need to watch his race because he is the one that has the momentum. He's on the ballot, not Shapiro. Shapiro can help, but Casey is the one that has the momentum on the ballot, not the top of the ticket. And if she can hold it in Pennsylvania, it will be because he did. Because he did well and he performed as expected. Let's look in Pennsylvania right now. We're going to look at the Senate. Looking at the Senate in Pennsylvania. And I mean, because they're close. This is super fascinating to me. That they're, I mean, it is something else. Casey is only up by, it's within the margin of error. He's only up barely, he's not even up by 2.5 right now. In Pennsylvania. It's not even 2.5. He has led the entire time, but not by a lot. And he's never led beyond the margin of error. There are only two polls. And I think that the sample size for both of them was relatively small because the UMass Lowell poll that was done in early mid-October, that was only 800 likely voters. And in looking at, and that had Casey up 6. And then the other was a CBS News poll. And again, that only had 1,273 likely voters. Margin of error was 3.6. So that would take his plus 6 down quite significantly. And the other one, that UMass poll, the margin of error was even higher. That was 3.7. And so, I mean, that's it. Casey is only ahead. The last Rasmussen poll that was taken October 25th to October 28th has them tied. The USA Today Suffolk had him plus 3. So the RCP average is 2.4. It's really tight there. So if she ends up taking that state, if she does well, it will be because of Casey. And McCormick has rightfully been saying Casey's flip-flopping as much as Harris is. You know, Casey's, you know, he's, and which he is. I mean, he literally has two different contradictory ads running right now in Pennsylvania. And it's funny because Casey, at the time back in 06, he was running against Rick Santorum. And Casey blasted Santorum because he said, you voted with W. Bush 98% of the time. But guess how much now he's voted with Biden? Casey is literally the exact same. He's voted with Biden 98% of the time. That's something McCormick has pointed out. So I just find it hysterical that Casey thinks the right response is to hug Donald Trump with this. And again, he's not the only one. So these are the races that you need to watch that are going to give you a better idea, I think, as to the health of the top of the ticket in these battleground states. So you got to look not only at Pennsylvania, you got to look at Michigan and Wisconsin. Because, you know, like, let's look at Wisconsin. Harris is only up RCP average 0.3 right now. It's tough. It is tough right now. Only up 0.3. Very, very, very close. And in terms of the Senate with Baldwin versus Hoved, Baldwin is only up by 1 point in the RCP average. And she has not led the whole time. They've kind of gone back and forth, both within the margin of error, but they've gone back and forth. And these are the top battlegrounds for the Senate: Arizona, Michigan, Montana, Nevada, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Wisconsin. These are, one of the things I'm going to do over the weekend is I'm going to put together an electoral map, because I have a couple of different ways that I think this can go, and I'll publish that. I'll put that up in a separate piece. It'll come out Monday. I'm always curious to see how correct I was. I was pretty spot on, by the way, in 2020. Just got to say. But these are, this is wild. But they all think that Biden's doing a horrific job. They all think the direction of the country is bad. So the toss-up, those are the toss-up states. Those are the states where it's really, really close, where it's really close. In Maryland and New Mexico, leans Dem, leans GOP, Florida, Montana, and Nebraska, and you got Scott in Florida. I'm not worried about the likely Dem states, New Jersey, Virginia, and Missouri, because Josh Hawley's been doing incredibly well. By the way, speaking of Josh Hawley, audio soundbite one, he had a debate with Lucas Kuntz, and I just witnessed a murder when I saw this video. What? Listen to this.
It's a little bit of courage to share a stage with Lucas Kuntz after he shot a reporter last week. I guess he wants to go out with a bang. Now, as to the question about the economy,
and then not only did he stick him with a shiv rhetorically, then he twisted it because he just buried him with policy. And Kuntz stood there on the stage looking completely dumbfounded. I mean, and it was because the whole audience was that was a murder. That's what a murder looks like. That was wild. Hawley's beating the pants off of Kuntz. He's beating him to death rhetorically, politically, polling wise. So I'm not even concerned about that race at all whatsoever. Hawley's going to cruise. He'll get reelected. It's not even an issue. But I do think it's funny because he provided a great opportunity for us to illustrate how idiotic the anti-gun, gun control Democrats are. Because they are. I mean, it's just, you know, crazier and crazier. By the way, apparently they didn't even like call the police or do any kind of emergency or anything like that after. Like, more stuff keeps coming out about that whole failed campaign staging op. It was horrible. Now, looking at, so we're looking at Wisconsin. I want to look at Michigan real quick, because that's where that's where you got Slotkin versus Rogers. And Slotkin's leading by 3.5. Alyssa Slotkin may turn it out. Again, it all comes down to how much of a drag will Harris Walz be on these tickets, on these down ballot races? How much of a drag are they going to be? And yes, that is absolute. It has absolutely happened before. I tell you, I've been there. I've seen it. I have looked at raw data, numerous election, because it's been my job in doing some of this election analysis, whether it's not just for my program, but if I'm doing it for Fox and when I was a token conservative at CNN. And you can look and you can immediately, it's like looking at the matrix. You can immediately spot the trends when you get all this hard data. And I'm looking at it and you can see where a lot of these close races previously, Obama would just tank them, just tank them. That shellacking that they took, one midterm where they lost majority in the House. Oh my gosh. It's like the people that he campaigned with lost harder. So they had like this unspoken rule after that, where they didn't really do a lot of campaigning with Barack Obama after that, because everybody was like, ooh, yeah, he's kind of a drag. Harris is the same way. That's why you don't see her doing a lot of these events. Like when Trump gets out there, they'll bring up either the candidates or the incumbent that's running. They bring them up on stage. Harris isn't doing that. Have you seen her do it?
Nope.
Who was it? Whitmer, but Whitmer's not running. Is it? Has she done an event with Slotkin? No. That's a battleground state. Don't you think that would be, think of it, if it was helpful, don't you think Harris and Walz would be doing an event with Slotkin? Don't you think they would be doing an event with Bob Casey in Pennsylvania? Don't you think Casey would have been up on stage? Don't you think that they would have been in Wisconsin or Michigan? They would have been with Baldwin in Wisconsin. Don't you think so? Because she's a drag. Our partners that help bring you free radio. Kel-Tec, the P15. If you don't have the P15, you need to get it, because this is like one of it. It literally is the lightest, thinnest double stack 9mm on the market. This is ideal for concealed carry, especially for you ladies. I'm not excluding you guys, because you guys may want something light and thin as well to carry. But for ladies, it's a lot harder for us to conceal. And so knowing that you have the stopping power from 9mm, but that it's sleek, it's compact, that you have that extra ability for ultra concealability is amazing. And I have both the metal and the polymer version, but it is the lightest and thinnest. Comes with two magazines. So you have a standard 15 round with minimal pinky extension, and then you have the standard 12 round that's flush fit and double, and also double stack mag. That's for ultra concealability. Tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear. Striker fire. I mean, this is a great trigger. It's from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. Innovation performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more about the Kel-Tec P15 at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I just feel like if I got bit by a shark one time at a certain beach, I wouldn't go back to that beach. You know what I mean? Like, I would maybe, I'd probably find somewhere, if I went back in, I'd probably find somewhere different. Well, that's not what happened with Joe Fryer. So this dude, apparently, he got bitten twice by sharks on at the exact same beach, like 11 years apart. He's a competitive surfer, and he got bitten again. And he had to go, I mean, looked like he was pretty bad. He was okay when he was up, and he was, like, you know, talking to everybody, but he got bitten again. And the same time, like the same... It's a, this Florida, it's the NBC reporter, Joe Fryer. This dude got, I mean, 11 years apart, bitten twice in the exact same beach. This was Treasure Coast News. And they, yes, I know shark bite chances are very low. But the guy's name is Cole Toshman. And he, when it bit him the second time, he was using, he was punching the shark's head. And he had, it mangled his hand. So he got 12 stitches and a cast and... He had to, like, get a tourniquet and all of that stuff. But I'm just thinking, like, you know, maybe I wouldn't... Like, surfing looks really fun, but at the same time, I think that's the... Well, what if you're on the surfboard and there's a big giant shark and you just see it in the wave and I'm like, oh my gosh, right? I would surf all the way to shore and up a mountain. That's what would happen. Just saying. It just makes... This kind of stuff makes me nervous. I don't know. We had the spit mask guy yesterday. I think we had... Oh, no, this is another guy with a machete. Is this a new machete one?
Yeah, different
machete. Here we go. 18-year-old Caleb Williams was arrested. Why are they saying allegedly brandishing a machete? Because they have a photo of him literally brandishing the machete.
That photo's just an alleged photo.
He was brandishing a machete at an elderly woman during an altercation at an early voting site in Neptune Beach. He raised it over his head. He got into an altercation with the two women, one of whom was 71 years old. And he was taken into custody, improper exhibition of a dangerous weapon, so brandishing basically, aggravated assault on a person age 65 years or older. He was with a group of six. They were there to, I don't know what site he was for, but apparently they were protesting and he was smiling and holding the machete aloft in the parking lot. You got to be careful around polling sites because they will get you at a polling site. Like there are literally people who just watch what everybody does and they watch where the boundaries are. We have our third hour on the way, and we've got the latest with now the Liz Cheney victim. We got a whole bunch of stuff. The transcript gate, ballot harvesting, the census, and more. Stick with us. Welcome back to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon with you at the top of this third hour. Dana Lash, you can find us at Substack as well, chapter and verse. A lot of good stuff that happens over there. And... you can also find us Rumble, where the discussion happens, YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff. Channel 347, DirecTV, the podcast Absurd Truth, which has some of the different moments from the show all in one. One of the things that I don't think anyone's talking about, the only other person I've seen talking about this is actually Daniel Horowitz, and I think Ron DeSantis mentioned it briefly once. But no one's really actually hitting it, particularly... Republicans or the RNC, which to me they really need to. And here's why. What if, let's just say, because you know we got the election Tuesday. Now let me speculate for a moment. There's been a lot of discussion about voter integrity. And I get it. I mean, I saw a video, I tweeted about it actually. Was this yesterday? Where Georgia said, it was video of like one of their people and one of their election officials, and Georgia was saying, well, you know, we may not be able to have the results by election, and it may take a couple of days, is what they said. And my point is, I had said that that's absolutely ridiculous. for that to take that long. That's ridiculous. There's zero excuse, because if you want to assuage voter suspicion of compromised election integrity, then you've got to get it counted by the end of election night. That's just asinine to think that, you know, that there's no reason for it. There's no reason. So you have people who justifiably have issues already and are suspicious and are concerned about voter integrity. And I get this. And a lot of people are curious about, are watching the machines and making sure ballots are counted. But, and again, I'm speculating, but you need to ask these questions because there's a lot of concern about the census. What if there was a fix-in, but it was years in the making and not just election night? What if election night was the final piece de la resistance? What if it was just the last piece of the puzzle? You could have Trump that could lose due to an unnoticed form of shenanigans. And like I said, Daniel Horowitz is the only other person. He was on. We ran out of time because there's so much to get into. But he's going to come back on and we're going to talk about this next week. What if Republicans saw that there was fraud happening, but they didn't address it or weren't able to address it or whatever immediately? And one of the things that we've seen this election, and I was actually looking at some of this, is that blue wall. So you keep hearing these phrases like the blue wall and the Sun Belt. Like Kamala Harris was trying for some of the Sun Belt states. They think that they're going to hold the blue wall. Democrats wanted to try for the Sun Belt when it was Biden. Now that they got Harris, her chances are slimmer. And you keep hearing about blue wall, et cetera, et cetera. Democrats have always, the crux of Democrats' victory has always been that blue wall. And yes, California's great, but it's always been Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. And I think only one time since Dukakis have they ever had it pierced, right? Now, migration trends, demographic shifts have really done a lot to beef up Republican positions in the Sun Belt states. It's Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, you got North Carolina. And if Democrats keep the blue wall, say that Trump ends up with 268 electoral votes. That's like almost a win. 270 is what is needed. That's an actual possibility. But what if the states that Trump would win could actually have more electoral votes without having to base any kind of strategy on piercing or piercing the blue wall or winning a Rust Belt state? And that's the issue. That's one of the issues that Horowitz got into. Because when you use this, when you look at the census report and determine apportionment based on population, he noted in April of 2020, Texas got 2 congressional seats, Colorado, Florida, Montana, North Carolina, Oregon gained 1. I mean, that's the estimation as for April 1st, 2020. The shift benefited Republicans, but what he's arguing is that it didn't actually capture the massive migration from blue to red states. And this is never so harder felt than in the Sun Belt. He noted that this is bombshell report from the census. And the RNC should have looked at this. They admitted, the Census Bureau admitted that they overcounted in 8 states and that they undercounted in 6 states by an unbelievable margin. 5 of the 6 undercounted states were red, and 6 of the 8 undercounted states that he noted were blue. And you had the largest errors affecting red states on both sides. So he listed the error states, undercounted states were Arkansas, undercounted by over 5%, Florida by almost 4%, Illinois by 1%, Mississippi by over 4%, Tennessee almost 5%, Texas almost 2%. Those were undercounted states. Overcounted states, Delaware by almost 6%, Hawaii by almost 7%, Massachusetts by over 2%. Minnesota by almost 4%, New York by almost 3.5%, Ohio by 1.5%, Rhode Island by over 5%, and Utah by almost over 2.5%. So the errors that they had in this bombshell census report singularly affected red states by an egregious margin and favored blue states by an egregious margin. Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation had written about this and said that due to these errors, Florida did not receive two additional congressional seats. Texas lost out on a congressional seat. Minnesota and Rhode Island each retained a seat they should have lost. Colorado completely got a brand new seat that it didn't deserve. Now, you're looking in a crystal ball and trying to speculate to figure out how much this affects the congressional district boundaries and the control of Congress. But when you look at the Electoral College, it does. What if the race is distorted because of that? There hasn't been a single hearing held on this. Trump hasn't even focused on this really himself. He's talked, I think he's maybe mentioned the census a couple of times. He hasn't even focused on this. But if, they had, there was a note that in the previous census, there was an overcount of only 36,000 people nationwide. That's a negligible 0.01%, and it didn't affect reapportionment. Now, the error is way much more egregious, and it's very much more favorable to Democrats. Republicans could have taken the 2 years before this election to challenge it, and they didn't. They didn't hold any hearings. They didn't try to correct it. They didn't introduce legislation. And I have to say, I understand that the Trump camp was litigating certain things. This was the big thing they needed to litigate. Because if there is something that's off, I suspect that it will be through this. Now, they could have, Republicans could have introduced legislation. They didn't. They could have held hearings. They didn't. They could have had a legal battle. Horowitz notes that the Supreme Court ruled in Utah v. Evans that the census clause doesn't forbid using statistical methods to enhance accuracy behind a beyond a direct count. And then, of course, the population of illegal aliens. California, there are some estimates, and I'm going to pull this up. There are some estimates that California has additional seats. Politico has a story on this. How non-citizens decrease Republican chances of winning the White House next year. This was published in October 3rd of 2015. And they noted that this isn't the only issue, that California, they believe, might have an extra 5 seats in the House simply due to the population of illegal immigrants alone. Now, I will say Trump did try to exclude from the census people who were here illegally. But he was blocked in the courts. And everyone was basically kind of shrugged their shoulders. I guess there's no legal way to fight on this. So there you go. This is a real problem. And I mean, even back in this October 2015 piece, and this is in October of 2015, this is before his win against Clinton. It says the math gives strongly Democratic states an unfair edge in the Electoral College. The math that the left uses and that the census has been using and the way that they're trying to rig this. The states with the largest populations of illegal immigrants and other non-citizens gain extra seats in the House at the expense of states with fewer such, quote, whole number of persons. And yet, you've barely heard anything about the census fight. The last thing was the fight to prevent illegal individuals, but it had nothing to do with the apportionment and the irregular math used to make the determinations of allocating seats, etc. That's the problem. And it's a big issue. I mean, you would have to reallocate some of these seats. States that have more citizens are losing out against states that have fewer actual citizens and or have more illegal aliens present than the states that are losing out. That's insane. So I am not sure how this is will. I mean, it remains to see how this is, how this comes to pass. I mean, this is, you know, it's very troubling, but this is the reality of the situation. And the Republican Party does not have a strategy, to say nothing of a long-term strategy. They do not have a strategy to deal with us. I don't know what they're going to do. And as Kane noted, staying on defense is a huge issue for the Republican Party. So this was important enough to spend an entire segment on, because I still don't know what, it's a lot harder to change this after the fact, is it not? After the election, it's a lot tougher to say, well, the census, now you have flawed electoral count because of the census. That's a lot harder to make that argument after the fact, isn't it? Why didn't they do anything 2 years before? So, like I said, if, watch those electoral counts. That'll be a very clear sign on this.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is wild. So this guy, this Italian dad, Luciano D'Adamo, he woke up from a car crash. He was in a coma since 2019, and he was in a hit and run, and he woke up from it. Again, coma, in a coma since 2019. He thought the year was 1980 and that he was 23 years old. He did not know that his parents had, his mom had passed. He did not know any of this stuff. He was shocked when an older woman came in and addressed him. And the guy's 68 now. He was like speechless. He could not believe that that was his wife. And he did not understand how he had a 30-year-old son. And he said, I thought I was crazy. He's like, this is, and then he was shocked when he saw his reflection and did not even know that he was a 23-year-old man. Can you imagine? That's crazy. This apparently, so you can, we were talking about political clothing at the polls. Election workers at Hamilton Township, was this in Jersey? They said you can't wear political clothing. And so this woman voted in her bra. She had to take off her hat and shirt, and then she voted in her bra. And then, yeah, we kind of have to know that, though. Like, anything that's like a slogan or anything like that, and that's both sides. That's not just against Republicans. It's against Democrats, too. It's to protect voter integrity and prevent intimidation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there you go. Let's see. This Halloween costume. It's a child's mind-bending Halloween costume that left even adults baffled. They were shocked over this. And they said it was a schoolboy. It was a Halloween costume trick so impressive. It's a photo that circulated on social media. I wish they would just tell you instead of making you scroll down past their stupid advertising. So it was just him standing next to... So it was him holding his waist and legs.
Yeah, it looks really weird.
I don't know how he did it. People were like, how did you do that? It looks so great.
You have to be squatting or something?
But he only won third prize. Someone was like, maybe it looks like it was obviously adult made. But was it? I mean, the other costumes sucked. One of them, I think, was supposed to be Wednesday Addams. It's easy enough. I'm just saying. And it's just, you know, just feel like that kid was robbed, I gotta say. Because you know that their parents helped them. Did that little girl go buy her Wednesday dress? No, she didn't. A New York woman was charged with pepper spraying a Muslim Uber driver as he prayed. Jennifer Gilbo was charged with second degree and third degree assault as a hate crime. He was praying on July 31st at a red light and she sprayed him. She pled not guilty. Good heavens. Stick with us. We're finishing this third hour.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Bottom of this third hour. Dana Lash here with you. We're just days away from the election. Days away. And we've been getting into a lot. I still want to, you know, encourage you to not take a lot of the voting stuff, a lot of the polling about voting as gospel truth, for real. Please do not, because so much of it is just up for interpretation I mean, they're just trying to do the best that they, people are trying to do the best they can, and others are just, well, it's an industry. I don't know how else to put it. It's an industry. Looking at a couple of things, including this USA Suffolk poll. I don't know. I mean, so much of it, up a point here, up a point there. I don't know. I just, some of it just, they looked at 300 likely voters. This is meaningless to me. 300 likely voters. 300. This is stupid. Why are we doing this? This is just people trying to put their finger on the scale and tip it for narrative purpose. This is all this is. 300 likely voters. They've already been voting. Are they registered? Clearly not. They would have said it. Not all of them are registered, or they would have said it. So you don't even know if these people voted. They're trying to say it's tied at 49 to 49. I just toss into the trash. They're not even worth it. And yet I'm looking at a whole article that's like deep diving into this. And what does this tell us? I'm going to tell you what it tells you. Nothing. 300 likely voters. That's it. And women are oversampled. Do you think that they're trying to go for a narrative here? I just see this stuff and I just toss it. It's trash. That's why we got to be careful with us. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's, like I said, people are going to look and see what's like tea leaves. They're going to just read whatever they want to read out of this. There's one polling entity, Atlas Intel. They weren't too bad back during 2020. In fact, I think that they were considered the most accurate pollster of 2020. But they were saying that the way that they were looking at it is that Trump was +5 in Arizona, and that it's a lot tighter in Michigan and Pennsylvania, where he's basically where he's +1. I don't think you can argue with that small of a lead that he's leading in those states where he might be only +1, especially when you have margin of errors at 3.5 and 3.7. I mean, that's kind of significant. So I don't know. I think the most accurate reading is that the states that Trump really needs to win is where he's the tightest. I think that's probably the most accurate to look at. I will say that his momentum has been consistent, whether it's a 538 aggregate or an RCP aggregate, or if it's measured by, you know, Cook, or if it's measured by, Quinnipiac, which tends to lean left. I mean, that's been pretty consistent. But I have everybody sitting here telling me, well, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? I don't know. I mean, the blue wall states, that's a problem for Trump if he cannot close those out. I was looking at, remember what I was just telling you about the census stuff and how, like, what if Trump gets to 268 because of some of these states with the census? A friend of mine did their own electoral map and he had, guess what he had Republicans at, Kane? 268. Interesting. So, interesting. So this, he's got to close out. He's got to get one of them. Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota's is a toss up, which is crazy to me. Pennsylvania's going to be tough, but it could be a 270 to 268 type of thing. I will say again, I said this yesterday, you would rather be Trump in this situation than Harris right now. That is for certain. That is for certain. She's only +5 aggregated RCP for Michigan and +0.2 aggregate for Wisconsin. I mean, it's tough. Kane goes, the Amish are going to give Trump the advantage, but they've been voting.
I know. In larger numbers.
In Pennsylvania. Can I tell you, did I talk about this, the Pennsylvania thing? How when I went out there? Okay. So I went out there for a 2A event, right? We have affiliates out in Pennsylvania and you go through Amish country. And I do not say this with any disrespect at all. In fact, I say it with Kane will attest to this. I say this with sheer awe and admiration. I've never seen Gothard people in my life. Yeah. I felt like I had driven into a Tim Burton movie. We were driving through this beautiful hilly countryside and I saw a woman in a black dress with a bonnet on in a field. Dude, she had a scythe. I was like, my little goth heart sang. I'm like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. And it was like these very like American gothic clappered houses, and the Amish were out there doing their chores, and their carriages were black and their horses were black and they had black. I was like, this is the gothest thing I've ever seen. It's like little goth on the prairie. It's amazing. And they had scythes and these, because they used the old timey stuff. It was like, and I wanted so badly to take photos, but isn't that, I think that's like disrespectful.
Is it?
I don't know. Like, I didn't want to be like leaning out of the car window because I was telling the driver, slow down, because they pick you up. The affiliates pick you up and they take you out to this event. I was like, I didn't want to be like, stop, I want to take a picture, because it's like kind of disrespectful.
I've been jealous of the Amish for a long time. I'd love to be that off grid.
Dude, the gothest stuff I've ever seen in my life. Like, nobody, that. All these other people are just posers. It made me feel like a poser. I'm like, wow, this is just, they are so tough and so goth. Yep. Anyway, but Kane's like, the Amish are going to come with their scythes. They're going to come out. I mean, a for real scythe, not like a like an actual
in
use one in the field.
They're not going to the polls with their scythe. Don't say stuff like that.
No, they shouldn't do that. But I'm just like, it's cool. It was so cool.
It is.
I mean, I was in awe. I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. It was really, it was beautiful. Anyway, but you think that they're going to bring it in Pennsylvania?
I think so. I think I've seen a lot of videos where they're like, we're talking six figures of Amish voting, where before you only
saw. Are there
saw,
six
like,
figures Amish in
yeah,
Pennsylvania?
Yeah, there's like 30,000 that were voting like in the last election.
Well, 30,000 is now, not six figures.
No. I know. This is the last election okay. I'm talking about. This election, they've already, apparently, their numbers are closer to 300,000.
I wonder. Well, apparently there are only 92,000 Amish of all ages in Pennsylvania. So I don't know if it's going to get into six figures.
I don't know. That's what, not what I'm
that's,
hearing.
That's
maybe the post I saw was a collective, because not all Amish.
Well, PolitiFact says that 180,000 new Amish voters is false, because there's not 180,000 of them there, apparently.
Yeah, in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But collectively.
Yeah. Now, collectively, it's different. But they were Illinois, saying in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, there's a lot of Democrat states. And like you said, you know, Pennsylvania is a very important state, that there are a large Amish population there. If you get those who haven't been previously engaged in voting, you know, that's going to be a good thing for the campaign.
So I'm telling you, this is it's going to be very interesting with all of this. I'm just, you know, we'll see, but got to get to that magic number 270. You have to get to 270. It's going to get crazier as we get closer, because early voting, like I said, early voting ends in Texas today. And I think they've all been making, I just think it's wild that the last big headline from Biden-Harris the week before election is the job numbers. Just horrific. 12,000. Everyone's like, wait a minute. Everyone woke up this morning. Maybe I need glasses. Does this say 12,000? Because I thought for sure it was going to be 122,000. Yeah, we're missing something here. What? Or 120th, something like that. No, 12. And that'll be revised down completely. So we'll see about all of that. But I don't know. I really don't think that hitting out at the women is helping at all, for sure. Not at all. Don't think so. I wanted to get a couple of these. I was going to play 26, but I think I'd rather jump off my roof than play it. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to play that one. I will say, let's get into, this is audio, which one do I, audio soundbite 9. They were mad about the garbage. This was last night. This is how they opened their evening news. Listen to this.
Vice President Kamala Harris rallied in North Carolina and Pennsylvania today and is in Wisconsin tonight. Former President Donald Trump was in North Carolina earlier and tonight is also in Wisconsin. He landed in Green Bay just a short time ago and then pulled this campaign stunt, speaking to reporters from a garbage truck. Proof that he and his supporters are giving no grace to a gaffe by President Biden, where he, in his explanation, inadvertently called Trump supporters garbage.
Inadvertently? Gosh, could you bend over more for this administration? That's Nora O'Donnell. No grace for, you mean no grace for the people who've been calling, who called us Nazis and garbage? Are you kidding me? It's a stunt. Clearly no grace that inadvertently. No, he literally said it. It wasn't inadvertently. He said it. Stop trying to put a Band-Aid on this gaping wound. Quit.
It's worse. They try to spin it. They're acting like somehow it was Biden that's the victim because he was given no grace. This is unbelievable.
I don't know. I can't. I don't. Oh, by the way, in case you forgot where Tim Walz was, here he is, audio soundbite 5, the guy who can't load a shotgun. Listen to this.
That's what their plan is. He also is talking about putting a national sales tax on everything. Things to buy, every clothes, food, toys, whatever you buy, $4,000 a year that it adds to your family. Now look, this dude's nearly 80 years old. He damn near killed himself getting into a garbage truck.
You damn near killed yourself trying to load a shotgun while bragging about how much you use that same shotgun to go shoot with. And then you were like, fud, fud, fud. Come on now, CCP. Come on. Just, oh, man, I can't. This is just going to get crazier. Going to get crazier and crazier. That's all I got to say.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Kane said he's going to start going by Mr. Garbage. Vous êtes Monsieur Garbage.
That's it. Garbage. It must be pronounced a garbage.
Vous êtes Monsieur Garbage.
Thank you.
Je suis Madame Garbage.
That's right.
That's just stay. We already voted, sadly, so you can't show up in your garbage bag and do that.
It would have been great. I should have done it.
Je suis Monsieur Garbage. Yes, can I have my ballot, please? Here's my ID. They'll look at you like you're nuts.
I
That's
need a fake ID
though.
With the last name Garbage.
Trash people. Trash people. I love it. I mean, it's just the dumbest gaffe to ever make. And then they're still. Chevron's moving their HQ from California to Texas after 145 years. Aw, look at that. Chevron moving to... Okay, your employees cannot vote lefty. So let's like make that... Just to see, I would be like, no, I'd be at the border. Oh, you're coming here with your Democrat bump? Get out. Yeah. You don't get to come here. Go learn to code. You can't come here. Stay out.
Racist.
No, it's... I don't want that... I don't want Texas to turn into the needles and feces. I saw a joke. I think it was a Babylon Bee that made it. And they said that parents in San Francisco were shocked. They were shocked to find a piece of candy in their child's Halloween bag of needles. Just couldn't believe it. Just insane. I don't know, man. I don't know. I saw this piece from Politico. Can Stacey Abrams still deliver Georgia? She couldn't even deliver the gubernatorial race for herself twice. Why does anybody think that she can deliver the state for Kamala Harris once? I mean, that's... Oh, wait. She is the president of Earth, though. Or the Earth's governor, Stacey Harris. I forgot that. Or Stacey Abrams. That's right. She is the president of Earth. Or the governor of Earth. That's right. She's the governor of the United States. She won that race. Every time she lost, it was stolen from her. I tell you what, there was another joke too. It said which campaign after Tuesday's, it's a race to see which campaign gets to claim voter fraud. That is kind of funny though. But the winners of that have been the left, like since W. I will never forget the hanging Chad and how long it took to make that determination and all the lawsuits that happened, et cetera, et cetera. Oh my gosh. But they've been doing that. And then they've been doing it since 2016. Just saying, since 2016. And then, of course, right before we go into elections, we've had really one of the worst job reports that we've had ever. How much of that 12,000 jobs that they said that was supposed to be 112,000, how much of that do you think is going to be revised away into the ether, Kane?
Oh, man.
Probably all of them.
Yes, we lost actually 11 per killion jobs. It's more than a decimillion. We just started making up quantities because we just couldn't quantify it.
There's no shutdown. There's no pandemic. So these losses are really unprecedented.
Yeah. Well, there's the lockdown of inflation. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to be, that's the final argument. This jobs report is her final argument.
Yeah.
That's the final argument. You can't lie about these numbers. Oh, but they're trying to. Oh, this is a good jobs report. It's good, just slow. What? You You thought you were going to have 112,000, and that was still slow. That was even by your own estimations, it was slow. 12,000 is just like non-existent. And like we said, when that's revised down to nothingness, even more so. I don't know. I'm telling you what. I think you know what I'm going to do? I think I'm just going to put my Christmas stuff up this weekend. Yeah. Ahead of the election. I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
I think I'm just going to put my, because it's going to be nuts. And I want, after election night, I just want to look at my Christmas tree. I think I'm going to do it. Yeah. If you give me any heat over it, I'm just going to be like, I guess I love Jesus more. It's okay. It's all right.
Did you get your giant 20-foot nativity scene or no?
No, I want a giant inflatable nativity scene. Yeah. Don't tell me about how I say nativity. It's just not going to change. Stop. Just like milk is milk and pillow is pillow. Just don't. I want a giant, just big giant one. Like bigger than my front door. I want you to have to literally look around the baby Jesus to get to my front door. It's what I want. I'll find one. It'll happen. Today in Stupidity, Kane. Sorry, I'm
all right. It is our Vice President Kamala Harris. Let's hear what she has to say here.
Sure.
Let's play this.
And understand the difference here.
All right.
Understand the difference here.
Okay.
Moving forward.
Say it again a few more times.
Moving forward. Understand the difference here.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean like literally.
Okay.
It was a
joke.
What
we are looking at is a difference in this election. Let's move forward and see where we are.
So she said move forward in this. Okay. All
what did
right.
I just hear?
I'm not sure.
I don't even know. That does it, guys, for this week. Election next week. God bless. Back with you then.